Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know, the weekend of April 4th, 2020. Here are some of the top headlines. The music world is mourning the loss of Bill Withers, who died Friday at the age of 81. Paralyzed driver Robert Wickens will make his return to IndyCar for a virtual racing challenge. Kevin Durant may be a superstar on the basketball court, but he lost in the first round of the NBA 2K Players video game tournament. And Christians around the world will celebrate Palm Sunday this weekend to kick off Holy Week. Before we get going, I wanted to tell you about another great USA Today podcast, Talking Tech. Every day, USA Today tech columnist Jefferson Graham brings you the latest from the world of tech. That means, of course, everything about the latest gadgets and software and major news from the business side of the industry as well. But it's also great because you don't have to be a complete tech nerd to get something out of it. I've loved Jefferson's tips and tricks about working from home during the coronavirus pandemic, like getting the most out of Zoom video calls.
Have good lighting. Do not appear in front of the window, because otherwise the webcam is going to expose for the window and not you. You will be a silhouette. So be lit by the window, not with the window behind you. If you're going to be doing this seriously, you might want to get a cell phone stand or a mini tripod with a phone attachment to hold on to your gear and let you be hands-free.
You can subscribe for free to Talking Tech wherever you get your podcasts. Now, on to 5 Things. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now recommends that the general public wear masks amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The move comes after new research shows that a significant amount of people who are not showing symptoms may still have the virus and are spreading it. But the recommendation is still considered voluntary, as President Donald Trump explained on Friday.
The CDC is advising the use of non-medical cloth face covering as an additional voluntary public health measure. So it's voluntary. You don't have to do it. They suggest it for a period of time. But this is voluntary. I don't think I'm going to be doing it. The CDC is recommending that Americans wear a basic cloth or fabric mask that can be either purchased online or simply made at home, probably material that you'd have at home. These face coverings can be easily washed or reused. I want to emphasize that the CDC is not recommending the use of medical grade or surgical grade masks, and we want that to be used for our great medical people that are working so hard.
New labor numbers out on Friday showed that the United States lost more than 700,000 jobs in March. That broke a 10-year streak of monthly job gains, but the reality is even bleaker. Since the Labor Department's survey was conducted in the week ending March 14th, before many non-essential businesses closed down and many layoffs took place, New York City remains the hardest hit city in the country, with 562 deaths overnight on Thursday and nearly 3,000 total deaths in the state due to the coronavirus. Governor Andrew Cuomo said he would sign an executive order allowing the National Guard to go to hospitals and take unused ventilators to areas in desperate need of more resources.
We're going to have to redeploy ventilators from across the system. In other words, there are hospitals that have ventilators. There are hospitals that have PPE equipment. There are private sector companies that have PPE equipment that they are not using, that we're going to need to redeploy to the places and the hospitals where we need them. I had a conversation with a hospital administrator yesterday. I understand they don't want to give up their ventilators. Ventilators are expensive pieces of equipment. I understand that even if they're not using them, they are reluctant to see them go out the door. The theory is if they, if the government gets them, they'll never get them back. I understand that, but I don't have an option, and I'm not going to get into a situation where we know we are running out of ventilators and we could have people dying because there are no ventilators, but there are hospitals in other parts of the state that have ventilators that they're not using.
Nearly 7,200 people have now died from the virus in the U.S., with nearly 300,000 confirmed cases. Around the world, there have been at least 1.1 million cases and 59,000 deaths. Walmart and Target are limiting the number of shoppers allowed in stores. The move comes to help promote social distancing and prevent the spread of coronavirus. Target said it will meter guest traffic with occupancy limits depending on the store size. If a store does need to limit shoppers, there will be a waiting area outside with social distancing markers. Walmart will begin using a single entrance, and they'll cut down to around 20% of normal capacity, with only 5 customers allowed for each 1,000 square feet at a given time. There's a new basketball Hall of Fame class. On Saturday, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett are all expected to be officially announced as part of the 2020 class of inductees at the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. The three players won a combined 11 championships and made 48 All-Star appearances. Only 6 players in NBA history have been selected to 15 or more All-Star games, and Bryant, Duncan, and Garnett are 3 of them. You can watch the ceremony at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific on ESPN. It's been a hectic few months for cruises around the world, and many passengers who were stranded or sickened amid the coronavirus pandemic are now suing the cruise lines, as USA Today's Kara Kelly explained to Claire Thornton.
So, Kara, some passengers from Princess cruise ships have been exploring whether or not they can file lawsuits and what they can get out of that. What do we know so far?
At this point, we know that at least 9 lawsuits have been filed on behalf of Princess, Grand Princess passengers. Their allegation is that Princess Cruise Lines was negligent and also grossly negligent for continuing to sail even though they knew about the dangers of coronavirus. In particular, they feel really confident they're able to sue for gross negligence because of what happened with the Diamond Princess ship, where 700 or more passengers became infected with coronavirus, and I believe 9 passengers actually died. So what they're alleging is that Princess Cruise Lines should have known about the danger and should have warned passengers who were getting on the next cruise ships that, you know, this was a potential threat. After speaking to several other attorneys and law professors, it seems like this may be still a pretty uphill battle for them. Maritime law is quite old. One professor told me it's tried and true, but I think a lot of Americans would be shocked to find out that a lot of the laws that would be governing this area were originally passed in the 1800s. Thinking about how much sea travel has changed since then, it seems a little off, maybe, that those would be the laws that they're up against.
Queen Elizabeth II will address the United Kingdom on Sunday in a rare special broadcast. The 93-year-old recorded the address at Windsor Castle, where she and Prince Philip have been living since last month. The extraordinary move during the coronavirus pandemic is only the 4th time the Queen has made a televised address during a national crisis. The last time was in 1997, following the death of Princess Diana. The only time she usually speaks to the UK on her own is her annual speech for Christmas. Thanks for listening to 5 Things. A reminder, you can subscribe for free, and if you get a sec, go ahead and drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also listen wherever you find your pods. And you can find us on Twitter at USA Today Podcast. Thanks, as always, to Claire Thornton for her work on the show. 5 Things is part of the USA Today Podcast Network.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.